American Christian, how you doing today? My name's Pete Cooper, I'm with Heart of the Father. This is episode 41, Doc is on assignment elsewhere. And we are going to move into some more text, written word of God. We're going to be in Matthew 25 if you want to get your Bible out and be ready for that. You know, it's just crazy to me, and I know that I say that almost every episode. Like, what is going on? What is the fuel that is coming into my tank that just wants me to keep diving into this? You know, we are talking about revival and igniting the revival fire. What does that look like? You know, it's kind of crazy because yesterday I was over at Tommy's house. You know, we were breaking down chickens, and you're probably thinking, well, what, you know, well, you know, it's a country thing that we do anyway. And we had about 15 birds that we needed to break down, and on his TV is that movie with Tom Hanks, and you know, he's out there on that island. I forget the name of the movie. I probably should know. You guys probably know what it is, but he's trying to make fire. He's trying to figure out, with limited resource, how can we do this? How do we do that? Like, have you ever had any instruction at all of trying to start a fire with flint? Have you ever thought about what you would need in order to make a friction device that would create enough heat to create a spark, right? I mean, it was just, it's weird. I was thinking about that today, and kind of the other thing. So no instruction, right? Like, how do you do this? Would you just like lay down and die? Or would you be trying to figure out something? Like, maybe you've seen something up on the YouTube, or maybe you've watched some shows. Maybe you're like watching surviving shows and doing that kind of thing. But check this out. So yesterday, my wife gets home. It's late at night. She's got this puncture on her tire. She makes it home without it going flat, but pulls into the garage, and there's this hissing sound. And she's like, yeah, it's leaking. I can hear it leaking out there in the garage. And I said, okay. So we go out there and look at it. You know, it's like close to midnight. It's hot. The bugs are flying around. And I was just like, okay, well, let's get the spare on there, and then I'll take the tire in the morning, and we'll get her fixed. Well, I look underneath the van, right? And I don't see the tire. It's like, it's not under the back end of the van. It's a stow-and-go seating thing. So I lift the seats up in the back there. And like, where is the spare tire? Where is this thing? Like, does this not come with a spare tire? But look, in the glove box is the user manual for our van. I said, honey, get that thing out and find out where that spare tire is. You know where that thing was? It's underneath the middle of the van is the spare tire. It's up on tucked up underneath there. Well, how do you get that thing out of there? I mean, I couldn't even see it there to begin with. So I'm looking, I didn't see it. And then apparently in the center console, you have to pull out where, you know, you throw all your, you know, whatever, your different kinds of whatever it is that you keep in your car. You know, you got little an energy drink in there maybe, or you got an extra set of keys somewhere, and you've got napkins in there, and you've got cords and all the stuff that you plug in to your lighter. And well, it's underneath there. You lift that bad boy up and out of there, and down on the floor of underneath this console on the floor is this nut, and you have to unscrew this nut to lower down on a like a pulley system on a winch. You have to lower this thing down that is holding the spare tire. So I'm cranking this thing down. Like, there's no, like, automatic anything. You're sitting there turning this screw that's in the floorboard of the van to lower down this compartment. And then you got to keep screwing it so you can slide that bad boy out from underneath the van. And then you can get to the spare tire. And I was thinking, boy, can you imagine doing that? And it's 20 below. You're on the side of the freeway. I say all of that to say this. Look, there are instructions to get things done. Sometimes, like in the Hanks movie, you might not have any instructions. you're pretty much on your own. If you didn't take the time in life to figure out how to do it, you're pretty much not going to have a fire. And with the van and getting a flat tire and knowing where your spare is and being able to get access to it, I'd have never found that screw sitting in the bottom of on the floorboard under the console where I had to remove a compartment to get to the nut. That was just bizarre to me. And I needed instructions in order to do this. So today, I take 5 minutes to go, hey. So today's episode is called Are You Ready? And I want to read to you, again, out of Igniting Revival Fire by Todd Smith. This is a letter that was written by David Giamona. He's a U.S. Army chaplain, colonel retired, out at Victory Base Chapel in Baghdad, Iraq, 2005. He lives in Columbus, Georgia. This is chapter 46. It says, are you ready? And then we go into Matthew 25, so follow along. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. And those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. Matthew 25, 1 through 5. The colonel says, I watch soldiers who are now entering chapel for services. They look weary. Most of them have been up all night either on a mission or pulling guard duty. They bring their weapons with them and drop them on the floor. Then they lift their hands in worship. After service is over, they pick up their firearms and continue their mission. There is no respite in combat. I want you to get this picture. Soldiers never leave their weapons unattended, even in chapel services at Victory Base, Baghdad, Iraq. They have those weapons beside them in case of an enemy attack. They're ready for combat at all times. If we did that here in America, it would be a strange sight indeed, but not in a war zone, not in combat. The interesting thing to note is that we are at war in America. What war, you ask? There are spiritual dark forces at war with believers here in America and around the world. Make no mistake about it. We are in combat every day with an unseen enemy. Ephesians 6:12 tells us, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. What do we need to combat the forces of darkness? Well, be ready and prepared. The Lord, in these last days, is preparing his army for spiritual hand-to-hand combat. Look at the parable of the 10 virgins. Again, we go into Matthew 25. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, 5 were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps, but did not take oil with them. The wise ones, however, they took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. The 10 virgins' job was to provide light, and some of them, according to John Piper, had lamps without oil, candles without wicks, torches without fire, light bulbs without electricity. They had an outward form of religion and no internal power. They likened their position, otherwise they would have left. But they did not have a passion for using the necessary means to fulfill the point of their position. That's out of Piper's book called Jesus Christ, the Bridegroom, Past and Future. 5 were ready and 5 were not. The colonel goes on to say that those 5 were distracted. They were too busy with politics or shopping or sports or whatever. They probably relished the excellent church services. They loved the sermons. They enjoyed fellowship feasts. They were very busy with the details of the day, yet the Bible tells us that they were asleep. They were not ready for the coming of the Lord. I want to share with you the secret of the U.S. Army's success. The number one priority is readiness. There is no other number one priority. If the Army was not adequately trained, equipped, manned, and supplied, what do you think would happen in the next conflict? We'd lose. Period. The five virgins who were ready had oil, and they had their lamps. They prepared for the return of the groom. Are you ready? Here are some ways to start getting ready. Number one, take a good hard look at your life right now. Are you focused in doing all that Christ has asked you? How do you spend your time? Two, start by repenting. Just start. When the Army throws you into boot camp on day one, you're now a soldier. You're not a civilian. There's no looking back. Three, determine to follow Christ every moment of every day by putting to death the flesh. That part of me doesn't relate to Christ. In the Army, you follow the orders of those who are over you. You throw out all idols in your life, those things that are a higher priority than God. Number four, fill your lamp with oil, which is the power of the Holy Spirit. We need power-packed disciples listening to him every moment of every day. And five, read and live the Word every day. How shall we live in the now and beyond? Keep your weapons by you at all times. David J. Giamona, U.S. Army Chaplain, Colonel Retired. Victory Base Chapel, Baghdad, Iraq, 2005. Columbus, Georgia. That is really kind of summing some things up, doesn't it? You know, did you pick up on the fact that the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps? That's what the kingdom of heaven is like. So take a look around you. If you are walking and participating in the kingdom of heaven, this is what it looks like. It looks like the prepared and the unprepared. It is a 50-50 split. Those are ones that are prepared, ones that are not prepared. But it's also this, but while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. It doesn't say that it's a terrible thing to be taking rest, because the prepared and the unprepared both slumbered and slept. But the thing of it is that they come awake when the bridegroom comes. Verse 6 says, at midnight, a cry was heard. Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. Verse 8, and the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, no, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. And when they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. The kingdom of heaven. This is likened to the kingdom of heaven. The door was shut. Verse 11, afterward, the other virgins came also saying, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said to them, assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. That's what the kingdom of heaven is like. Like the colonel saying, being ready. Coming in to worship and laying your weapon down. Where are their weapons? They're not outside the front door of the chapel. They don't lay down the role of being a soldier. They come in with their weapons. This is what we should be doing. We should be focusing on the fact that, first of all, what are your weapons? We've been talking here, American Christian, about baptism in the Holy Ghost. We've been talking about revival fire. We've been talking about and giving you the testimony that came out of Azusa Street, that came out of the Welsh revival, that came out of the India revival, that came out of African revival. Those, there's a common theme. I know that you're hearing it. I know that you're participating and that you're listening. But the question is who are you affiliating with, and are you with those that are desiring that they're going to come knocking and they're going to come asking you for oil, and you're not going to give it to them? Or will you give it to them? I mean, you just think about the whole Christian principle of sharing, right? Well, in the kingdom of heaven, in this particular parable, there's no sharing going on. Does that concern you? Do you need to start looking for your own oil? Do you need to be baptized in the Holy Ghost? These are the questions. These are the questions that we should be moving out in as the body of Christ. We are being prepared, right, to join and to be with him so that we can walk in with him and the doors will close. We want to be the ones that make it to the other side of the door with the bridegroom. We want to be those people. We want to move into this. We want to complete the mission. So there's a time to evaluate things right now in your own life. You know, maybe you're listening to me on your drive home. Maybe you're just waking up in the morning. Maybe you're on your lunch break and you thought that you would pick up this next episode about being ready. What does this really look like? What does my life look like? Am I a guy that is looking for oil from other people? Are you leaning in onto everybody else's life but not practicing it yourself? Are you reading the word throughout the week? Because that right there is oil. That right there, the word of God. Letting that come in and to soak in and to carry that around so that you're ready. Going to church is good. Reading the word and participating in activities of the kingdom is better. Sharing the gospel with strangers, being around, in and around. There is not, our lives are fashioned in such a way, really, that the Lord is ready to put us into action at any time that we're ready and willing to move into that action. But if you're not ready, and if you're not willing, and if you don't have weapons of our warfare, if you don't have that, do you think that a good father is just going to throw you into some kind of a firefight? No, I don't think that he does. But you don't want the door to shut on you. So I want to encourage you. Look, be ready. Move into these things. This is part of living in kingdom life. Turn with me to John chapter 7. And I want to take a look at one more thing. In John chapter 37, or John 7, verse 37, it says this: in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they had believed on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." John 7, 37 through 39. You know, speaking about revival without pointing to the work of the Holy Spirit is... You don't play baseball without a baseball. I know that's just kind of what came to my mind. But right, okay, Jesus is the reviver. He's the one that come. Revival is defined as bringing to life again, or the recovery of breath. Maybe you know somebody right now that that needs to be encouraged. You're the one. Well, I don't speak well to other people. I don't speak well to strangers. I will not. Are parts of our vocabulary, right, when we think about the things of God, like, well, I'm not qualified. Well, I'm not this and I'm not that. You are qualified because He is qualified and because He is in you. Like a mighty river flowing out of its banks, this water, this living water, it takes away the debris that hinders flow, and it catches up everything in its path. Living down by a river, which I do, I see the debris that comes down the river, and that it gets hung up on tree branches and different things that are in there, and it kind of stockpiles and it gets nasty. And then the water kind of recedes a little bit and all that stuff is in there. And then the next great rush of water that comes through there breaks that stuff up, and it travels a little further downriver. This is a little bit of a take from a man by the name of David Coleman. He's a pastor over at Harvest Worship Center in Virginia. Recently, in a nearby state, there was a contractor who dumped debris into one of their main rivers. The story was covered for several weeks on the nightly news. What stood out to me was there was a man who had charge of being the river keeper. The river keeper served notice to those responsible that they had so many days to clean it up. The state's fear was toxicity from the debris would contaminate the town's river, which in turn would spread disease and cause great harm. Polluted rivers carry death to everything indigenous to it. In Ezekiel's vision of the river flowing out of the temple, it brought life to everything that it touched. In the last day, remember John 7:37, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, "If any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. He that believes on me, as the scriptures has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." The Holy Spirit fills us with rivers of living water to eradicate the darkness and to bring life into a dying world. If our river is contaminated with the debris of sin, it impedes and it devalues what the Spirit-filled are for. The life flowing out of our temple, it depends on how pure and unobstructed the river flows. The river flowing from God's throne in Revelation 22 was pure and full of life, clear as crystal. Revival is an unobstructed flow of God's power and presence, carrying life everywhere that it flows. You are that person. You are the recipient of this living water. It is coming into you. The Word of God is, the Holy Spirit is, Jesus is. These are the things that you are being equipped with. These become your weapons of warfare. This is how you step into the middle of things. So how's your river flowing? Is there any interference? Are you listening to the river keeper? You know, capital R river, capital K keeper. Are you speaking to the river keeper as he convicts your heart of any defilement? Are you quick to forgive those who hurt you? Are you repentant? Do you repent of sin? Is your river producing life or death? Look around you. Take a moment. Look around you. What surrounds you? Does chaos surround you? Does peace surround you? Do you know people that are surrounded by peace? Do you know people that are surrounded by chaos? The Holy Spirit, our river keeper, He knows how to keep the river flowing. Today, we should just say that we should open wide the gates for the King. We should be at the door when the bridegroom comes. There is a presence on our part, a presence that needs to be aware of the river keeper, to be aware of the bridegroom, to be ready. Our side of this is to be ready and to listen and to hear and to do all that the Father is telling us to do. If you long for revival, it's time to surrender to that river keeper. Let the rivers of living water flow out of your spirit. So let's pray. Father, I repent today for my sin. I repent, Lord, for my hindrances that I've allowed to stop this river of your spirit, Lord. Father, we've been hearing the testimony of men and women that were involved in revival, in the Azusa Street revival. Lord, we've heard the testimony and the power of the Spirit, the healing that comes through the Spirit of God, where those who have been demonized, Lord, have been set free. Those who have been sick have been healed. Lord, you even raise those who are dead to life. So please, Lord, forgive us, refresh us, restore us, Lord. Revive us. Holy Spirit, make us contagious so that we can infect everyone around us for your glory. We pray this in your mighty name. Amen. American Christian, let's be ready.